I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the Isles Buzz podcast. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
So Dan, this is our draft preview show with one of the best in the business, if not the best in the business, Sportsology's Ross Cohen, to discuss what the Islanders might do at 23, as well as some of the prospects that are already in their organization. And of course, I start off the interview asking the same question I've asked every time we've had Russ on for the draft, and this time is no different. But to players that had played with the Islanders last year, but not under contract for next year, Robin Lehner and Anders Lee, a little disconcerting that neither one have signed yet. And according to The Athletic's Arthur Staple, neither one are close right now.
Yeah, it's a little concerning as we get to this point. Look, most of it's probably posturing, and I'm sure that information was leaked by the players' agents on both sides to get the information out there to try and maybe use this leverage. Because both of the contracts are becoming difficult, not in the sense of I don't think the cap hit. The yearly value is the issue. I don't think the money is the issue. I think the term is the issue. I'm sure Lehner's looking for probably a 5-year deal, and it doesn't sound like the Islanders want to go that far. Maybe go 4 years. I still think Lehner's going to get hammered out, though. I really do. At the end of the day, I think it's a perfect match here. We've heard the stories about Bobrovsky. I don't think they're true. I just don't think there's something there. Honestly, if that happened, I would not be happy. Not because Bobrovsky's not a great player. He's won two Veznas. But he'll cost so much more. I don't want to give a 30-year-old a 7-year contract. So I do think at the end of the day, Lehner will get done. I don't know what to make with the captain, though, because this is a very difficult contract. Like I said, giving him $7 million a year or something in that neighborhood, not a problem. The problem is he's 29. He's not fleet of foot. I'm sure he wants at least 5 or 6 years. This is his last big paycheck, probably. He's an amazing captain. He is critical to that locker room. But at the same time, if you look at it as a business, he's one-dimensional. He needs people around him, skilled players, to get him the puck. So this is a real tough negotiation in the contract. At the end of the day, I still think this is going to get done too, but they might Lou might draw a line in the sand at some point. I honestly don't know what to make of either of them, but if you're asking me right now, I still think they're both going to get done, but I'm not as optimistic as I was a few weeks ago.
You know, and it's funny because when Brock Nelson re-signed, and I even tweeted out that they started with the most difficult negotiation and working their way up. And it turns out they started with the easiest one because they needed a center. It filled a void, and they got him lower than what he would have gotten on the open market. So they hammered that one out. The thing with Robin Lehner, if it's 5 years, I think he can get 5 years on the open market.
I do too.
You know, he's young enough. He had a tremendous year. It's not going to cost the team who signs him an arm and a leg. And he'll probably get between $4 and $5 million.
$4 or $5 million, probably.
I don't know if this is solely because Sorokin's coming, possibly coming.
But they can't count on Sorokin.
I totally agree.
He's still
a year away. He's not signed.
No idea
right.
What he is.
He might have a career-ending injury. I mean, he might end up re-signing there. We don't know. He might be a bust. He might be Kevin Poulin. We don't know.
Right.
So you have 1 year track record with Lehner here. Everything went well with the coaching staff. The fans absolutely adore him. He had a great year here. I don't see the problem. I really don't. But ultimately, I think it will get done. But hopefully it'll get done before the NHL awards next week, because it's going to be awkward. He's up there.
Oh yeah, that's a good point, Noel. That's a great point.
Accepting the Masterson, because he's going to win that. And he's not going to win the Vezina, but he's going to be there. He's going to interview him. Thoughts about the contract, this and that, and it should be a celebratory night.
Not, this needs to get done before then.
It has to get
if
done.
This isn't done before then, I don't think he's going
to
resign.
No, it's perfect. He's going to be there with Trotz. You know, they're both going to get awards.
Has to get done. The optics look terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. The Anders Lee one, I mean, it's tricky. See, this is a lot different than the John Tavares one, because the Islanders did everything. They bent over backwards to re-sign Tavares. He left. I think Lee wants to be here, but this is, like
he
you
does.
Said, is his last contract. I don't blame any player for getting as much money, as much term as possible. This is their careers. I know fans, I used to be like, how can a player do that? The loyalty and stuff. This is a business. I have no problem with him doing that, but he's not going to get 7 years on the open market.
No, but he might get six.
He might get six. Ultimately, I think Lou is going to budge and give him a six.
I don't think you can give him six, though. That's the problem.
Five for 35 is a perfect contract for him.
I agree.
But I don't know.
Four for 28 would be better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That would be, you know, godsend. But they can't.
You know, it's one of those things, though, where I won't fault Anders Lee if he decides I think I can get more money elsewhere. And I also won't fault the organization if they said, look, we cannot give a 29-year-old player who doesn't skate that well a six-year deal. I won't.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you there. But they can't open up training camp next year or even open up the season with, say, like Mike Smith in goal and Josh Bailey's the captain.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it can't.
The optics look bad. If your captain walks again, that looks bad. And Lehner wants to be here. It'll be a huge – usually players leaving, yeah, whatever. But he has made a connection with this fan base. It will be a huge punch in the gut to this fan base if he's not back. And even if he's replaced with Bobrovsky, it would still be a punch to this fan base. I don't know. We're run by adults here. We're run by grown-ups now. So if these players aren't coming back, they're not going to be replaced with players from Bridgeport. They're going to be replaced with players from, you know, either trades or via free agency. I do believe, I trust the process, and I trust in Lou. Now, with that being said, if, you know, we're signing Jason Spezza and Mike Smith on July 3rd, I might flip out. But as of right now, I trust the process, and I still think this will get done. But I am not as – I don't have the best feeling in the world right now. Does that make sense?
It does. I trust Lou until he gives me a reason not to.
Right. For example, if you let Lee go and you go trade for Mike Hoffman, okay, I get it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally
fine.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. It would be nice to have Lee and Hoffman.
Sure, of course it would. Yeah, but if you're replacing them with players that you view as an upgrade, then I'm okay with that. But like I said, if you're just going to bring in Tanner Fritz, then there's going to be problems.
Right, right. I mean, one player who is off the market now, who the Islanders probably had an eye on, with Jeff Skinner, who got a nice contract and what he deserved. I mean, eight year, $72 million. So he got the $9 million cap hit. And that's what the going rate was going to be. I know people are a little upset, you know, crazy about that, but that's a going rate for a 40 goal scorer.
That's a fair market value for him. Maybe it's a million too much. I don't know. I don't think it is. If you're Buffalo, you have to overpay a little bit to keep your players. I mean, I saw a statistic that he was, since being drafted, he is 14th in the league in points scored, and now he is the 14th highest paid player in the league. So, you know what? There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So
people, it's not our money. Every contract that's signed is not terrible. There's natural inflation. Just because a player signs for $9 million, and he makes more than, you know, just because Skinner makes more than Sidney Crosby, that doesn't mean it's a bad contract. It's just a natural inflation of the process.
Right, and plus Sidney Crosby chose to sign that contract. He could have gotten more.
Although with that being said, there are still bad contracts get tossed around, but not every one is bad.
No, the Islanders have plenty of them on the team, so it's, Andrew Ladd, where have you gone? But
I think that's the fear with Lee. I think that's the fear with Lee that a lot of people have. It's like, you don't want that to be a Ladd contract.
But you know what? Like that summer, well, I guess it was summer of 2016, when basically every free agent signing was awful. When you had Louis Erickson, you had, you know, Milan
Lucic,
Oposo, Nielsen, what's his name, Ladd. None of them were good. So I think some teams are definitely going to be gun shy about signing Lee to like a 7-year deal.
Right. Like, I have no problem offering, you know, Panarin a max contract. You know, I mean, someone like that. But this is going to be a very nuanced deal, a very delicate, that's the better word, a delicate negotiation.
Right. And I'm like, the more it goes on, I'm thinking that Panarin is not going to come here. I just have a gut feeling. I think he's going to end up in Florida. That's a perfect spot for him.
You think he goes to the Florida over the Rangers?
Yes.
Why, I guess, is my question. Although I think Florida's a better team.
I'll give you three reasons. You gave me one. Better team, no sales tax, Joel Quenneville.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why he would go to a team that's still rebuilding. I mean, given if they get Capocacco and you have Panarin, that's
two deadly things. I think if he really wants to play in New York, and McKenzie has reported that he wants to play in New York, not necessarily which team in New York. If he wants to play in New York, then obviously he would choose the Islanders because they're closer to becoming a winner.
True.
It's just a better team right now. I don't know. A lot can happen. I think by the awards and by the draft, we'll have a better idea what this is going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of roster news, mainly for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. Their backup goalie last year, Jeremy Smith, signed in the KHL. So that leaves a spot open for Linus Soderstrom, who Arthur Staple reported is going to be at the prospects camp. Guess he's healthy and he's ready to go. They already burned 1 year of his entry-level contract last year of him not playing, so we'll see if he's ready to go. They have Christopher Gibson. Jeremy Smith, inconsistent goaltender. He was an AHL Goalie of the Month, I believe, for January. He had a fantastic run there. But, you know, a career AHL goalie moving on to Russia now.
Yeah, so we get to get Lauderstrom and get him reps, get him used to the North American game, get a year of development under his belt, get him back on track after all those injuries. And I think by the end of this year, you might have a little better idea what you have with him because he has talent.
Yeah, he does. He does, and we'll see what happens there. And then the fourth period was reporting that the Islanders were shopping both Nick Leddy and Thomas Hickey. Both those guys are very, very team-friendly contracts, which makes it very attractive for teams, you know, to trade for them.
Right, I think Leddy can get you back one of the forwards that you need in the top six, and then Hickey would create – moving Hickey won't get you much, but maybe just a draft pick, but it creates a roster spot that you can either use for either Dobson or Aho.
Right, or – I mean – potentially both, but I would like to maybe bring in another veteran defenseman to replace him, you know, because then you have a lot of young defensemen with with Johnny Boychuk, who
I think at this point Pulock and Pellick are battle tested. I don't consider them kids anymore.
No,
that's your top pairing now.
That's your top pairing, and Taze, a full season with Taze out there, and then Mayfield. I mean, it's
yeah. If you, I can go to war with it. But, bringing in another defenseman would be I can see that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not saying Lucas Spezza or another year of Dennis Seidenberg.
No, warming up.
But
just,
yeah. We'll see what happens there. But
he's not available. But someone like an Ian Cole.
Roman
Pulock, just a veteran present defenseman. I get it. Yeah.
Right. Didn't Roman Pulock just sign? Right.
He just resigned. Yeah. Unfortunately, because he's definitely someone they could have targeted. But he just someone like that, just a stable bottom pairing present veteran presence.
Yeah, and those guys are always around. You know, the owners usually bring them in anyway.
Right? Bring in Dennis Seidenberg.
Yeah. Oh wait. Breaking news now. Alex Morgan just scored again.
Oh god. That's Oof. Poor Thailand.
Yeah, I mean, really. But, I mean, that's the breaks. You know, some of these matchups are, unfavorable, but you're not going to have a mercy roll. Yeah.
Thailand was actually relegated during the 47th minute.
And I thought my son's soccer team was bad. Yeah, that was rough. But after the break, Russ Cohen.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And joining us now is Russ Cohen from Sportsology to break down the draft. Russ, how's it going?
Good, Noel. Thanks for having me on. Hey, Dan.
We have you on every year for the draft, and Noel always asks the same question, so I'll let him start off. Noel, ask him the question we ask every year for our draft preview.
Why, thank you, Dan. So, Russ, will the Islanders be making this pick at number 23?
They will make the pick. They will step up to the podium. They'll make the pick. I just don't think there's enough equity in the pick itself to trade it for something that they need, or I don't think they'll throw it in because while they did a nice job last year, they still really need to build their system. So take the pick, get the system, get the player in the system.
Yeah, and thanks to our good friend Garth Snow, they are missing a third and fourth round this year. So
another good reason why they should make this pick.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now, who can we expect players of value to be there in the mid-20s? There is a definite organizational hole at center, not so much at the NHL level, but throughout the system. Bridgeport's thin at center outside of Kovala. They don't have a lot of centers in the organization. Is there someone there that you think that could step in and become one of their better prospects in the pipeline?
Well, there's a couple of ways they could go. If Ryan Suzuki were there, that would be great, but That's a coin flip. He probably won't be. And, you know, he's the brother of Nick. And so let's assume he won't be there. They could. John Beecher is a guy who I really like. I interviewed him. He plays for the NTDP. He's a big kid, 6'3"-ish, fast. He's not going to be the highest of high skill guys, but he definitely will get some hardworking points. There's a lot of, like, qualities of like Brock Nelson, but much faster. You know, different, a little bit different player, but point wise, could be in that ballpark. I think they might go for him if they want to go center, because he would be the next best center on the board, even though he's expected to go in the second round. So I could see him going Beecher, just, you know, picks early, like, just do it. Other teams have been doing that lately at drafts, and you know what? It's not a bad move for them either.
Yeah, they're pretty stocked at defense in the organization. They're very, very thin also at winger. I mean, they have Kiefer Bellows and they have Oliver Wahlstrom. So what about a player who may or may not be there, and Bobby Brink?
Yeah, Brink won't be there. Brink, I mean, I have Brink at 16 on SportsAlgebra.com just as a ranking, and I think he can possibly go higher than that even in the drafting part. So I think he's probably gone by 13, 14.
Who do you think could be there at wing, you know, for the wing position, either left or right wing, in the mid-20s that might be able to help? Because we saw your rankings, and usually your mock ranking, usually there's some we love your rankings, but other rankings are all over the board this year once you get outside the top, even after like three or four.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no question, and that's why I don't do mock drafts anymore. They're crazy. I like rankings because at least over time you can just sort of see where a player falls. Winger, there could be some choices and could be some high-end choices. If Raphael Lavoie were to fall, for Halifax, that would be a tremendous pick. Or even if they wanted to add a little currency and move up and get him from another team, if they feel like he won't make it to them, that's a hell of a pick because this guy's got great hands. He does have a bit of an attitude, though. I interviewed him. He was the last interview of mine at the Combine, and it wasn't like he wanted to get out of there. He just, you know, he's a little bit set in his ways in the sense that he knows what he wants to do, knows who he wants to be, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's honestly nothing wrong with that. It was just one of those things, but he does have great hands. He is going to work on his speed and strength, and that would be one guy. Thinking things over, you could go with Arthur Kaliev, who he's a top-notch goal scorer, and he does have a physical side. He has to work on his skating. And so we'll see what that would produce over time. So that one at 23, you're taking a little bit of a risk for a potential big goal scorer. But I will tell you, I think they might be better getting the center here because you're not going to be able to get a great center in the second round. I mean, you can get one, right? But there's going to be guys that it's going to take a long time to develop if they ever get there. They could do Judd Caulfield in the second round. He played third line for the NTDP. I saw him with a bunch of different line mates. I liked him. I liked his speed. He's 6'3", 204 with speed. And so, you know, if you got him and you got Beecher, who, you know, both are teammates, you got them both in the system with size and speed on the wing, that goes a long way.
Now, do you think? Sorry, Dan.
Go ahead. No.
Do you think they'll kind of go out of left field and take, say, Spencer Knight? I mean, I know they have Ilya Sorokin, but he, you know, it's not signed, so he's not in their picture right now. Linus Sotis missed all of last year, so he's not a factor. And we all know that Robin Lehner is not signed yet, so there's really no goalie of the future, so to speak. Do you think they would take a chance with Spencer Knight?
I think there's a chance of that. I think he might go earlier to Calgary, but right. if he were there at 23, that would be a hell of a conundrum. I would take him because I do think he'll be a number one. He's going to – I'm actually writing about him now for another website. He's going to go to Boston College. He's a big kid. He's really strong. At the combine, he impressed people the way Mackenzie Blackwood impressed him with the long jump. But he also he's just got a great glove hand, the way he hugs the post. He doesn't have a big five hole for a big guy. I take him because, yeah, Sorokin you think will come over. You never know. Leonard, they're having trouble not hanging out that term because he wants more term, I think, than the Islanders want to give. So he may look on the free agent market before he decides. You know, you get Knight. He doesn't cost you anything because he stays in college maybe for 2 years, and then you could worry about signing him to an ELC. So he could be a nice way to bridge the gap there.
Yeah, I usually don't advocate drafting goalies in the first round, but this kid looks different. He looks like definitely looks like someone who could be a number one starting goalie, potentially franchise goalie. And like you said, the great thing about it is he's committed to Boston College. You draft him and you just let him go for a couple of years and you bring
him. No worries. Yeah,
no worries at all there.
Nope. No rush to sign him. Nothing.
Yeah. So I just want to talk about a couple of players who were drafted last year by the Islanders. Noah Dobson, who won a second straight Memorial Cup. I'm sure he's going to get every opportunity to make the team out of camp. Looks like they're trying to move Letty and even Hickey, maybe even open up a spot for Dobson with a ridiculous Canadian rule where we'd have to go back to juniors. What do you think his chances are making the team next year?
I mean, I'll give him 40% only because I think the strength's not there yet. Everything else is there. He's a terrific skater. He's smart. He just keeps the puck moving in the offensive zone. He's one of those guys that can make great saves at the blue line to keep the puck in the offensive zone. He has a really nice shot. He's one of those guys you look up and he has a couple points at the end of a game. Really, really good defender. I would like to see him get one more year of strength. Even if it means sending him back to junior, so be it. But I know the Islanders are sort of in this spot where they're going to give him a long look. That's good. Maybe, you know, maybe Trotz will put him with a veteran and it'll work out. I'd say there's a chance of that.
Now, how about second-round pick from last year, Bodie Wild, who is AHL eligible. He's someone who's coming off a strong year as well. What do you see from him?
You know, I would put him in the A because he's a very physical player. He'll make open ice hits. And he's a really good skater. I feel like for whatever reason, I don't know why he dropped to the Islanders, but it was a heck of a pickup. He does have some offense in his game, so he could be maybe like a 30-point guy at the NHL level. But again, he skates well, he hits. I would put him in the A because I don't worry about his physical side, and I think that's a good way to sort of gauge him and see where that physical side takes him against men.
And lastly, I'm sorry, Dan. Yeah.
No, go ahead. That's okay.
Oliver Wahlstrom, the other number one pick last year, he had a very, very difficult freshman season. He left. He signed the ELC. He went to Bridgeport. And he had a very, very solid, about 5 or 6 games in the regular season, played very well in their first-round loss to Hershey. I don't think he really has a chance next year to make the team, but how do you like his progression at the end of the last year?
Well, I mean, yeah, he really did look shaky when I saw him, like, at the Bean Pod, and I think the problem was he wasn't playing a full 200-foot game. His skating's great, his shot's great, but that other part is a big deal in college hockey, and he just, you know, it just wasn't happening for him. So I think now the development side will be better. He doesn't have to worry about school. I think all those things play in his favor, and because he does have the size, he is a strong kid, a very strong kid. So I think this is a good way to really bring him along because, yeah, it wasn't good in college. It just didn't work out.
Now, Russ, before we let you go, with the draft coming up the 19th, tell everyone where we can hear you and listen to you and find you that weekend because I know you're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, so I'll be in Vancouver. I'll be on SiriusXM 91 on the draft show, probably before and after the draft. And then I'll be writing stuff for Sportsology.com, I'm going to put a couple of articles on EliteProspects.com, EP Ringside, it's called. And then who knows else, you know, other stuff may come up, but that's all I know for the moment.
Russ, thanks for a few minutes tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Noel. Thanks, Dan.